podcast for you, the real estate professional. This is One on One, the official Realty One Group podcast powered by One University.
Welcome back to another episode of the One on One podcast. My name is Joshua Katz. I am joined by Kathy Baker and our video. I don't even know what you are anymore, Ryan.
How dare you?
Our producer, our jack of all trades, master of nothing, Ryan Esteban, is here as well. Hi, guys. How are you both?
Hey, when's Ryan's big day?
By the time we publish this, I don't know why I'm answering for him.
We're literally a month out. Yeah, I don't know what it is about weddings, and I'm sure this happens to everybody, but like literally in the past like 2 weeks, it seems like it like ramped up from like 10% to like 100.
Is it kind of like the feeling of the closer you get to the toilet, the more you have to go sort of feeling?
I've been to the toilet multiple times. It's going to be a good time. Just ready to get over it.
Yeah, we're trying to bring some microphones and maybe get an episode in. I don't know if Ryan's going to have time actually during the ceremony.
Darn. She's a lucky girl. Just let me say that. Hey, the force be with her when you show her all your shoes, because I'm sure.
I know. Oh, she knows. She knows.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, I'm excited for today's episode because, real estate's obviously in the news right now, and a lot of people are talking about it, and we brought on another one of our experts who... You know a lot better than Ryan and I, and I know this guy is going to be a wealth of information with a lot of the news that's broken recently. So do you want to introduce our guest for today?
I do. A couple of things. I think with industry news releases, and I think Dustin will agree with me, there's just so much noise right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of noise, just like there was almost 4 years to the day when the pandemic started to shut things down.
Mm-hmm.
And our fearless leader at that time, Mike Clear, said, lead with calm. And the reason I'm so excited today about Dustin being on is this is a voice of calm. This is a voice of experience. This is one of our 1.U coaches that comes to the table with a strong voice, a strong message, and just a plethora. That's going to be my word for the day, of experience. So, and guess what? He's ROG experts.
From Chattanooga, Tennessee, right?
Tennessee. So Dustin, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Dustin, we want to kind of just get right into it because, like I said, there's been a lot of talk with everything that's happened with the NAR settlements, and Kathy wanted to bring you on because I know you have an interesting perspective on how we can actually see this as opportunity.
Absolutely. I think anytime the market shifts, there's a huge opportunity for real estate agents to take market share and grow. Of course, we got to do it the right way and make sure that, you know, we're still, I mean, the NAR lawsuits still doesn't change the fact that we're still realtors and doing the same job that we've always done. They're just going to make us do it back to where everything's in writing again. I mean, we've never went away from buyer representation agreements. I know a lot of people have. I know a lot of newer agents may not have been taught that in the industry when they got in. So we've always taught to get, you know, we list our buyers the same as we do list our sellers. So it's the same thing. Just put it in writing and communicate what, you know, what we charge as agents. And I don't think there's anything going to drastically change with us at the moment.
You know, I'm such a hunter, and I'm not proud of this, but I love the fact that we've got change, because I think change creates vulnerability, and I think vulnerability for professionals creates opportunity. And what I see is the opportunity for the rising of the skill-based professional, and that's what I'm excited about. The reality is, Josh, you and Ryan may not realize this, but there are 18 states that have mandatory buyer agency disclosure. It varies in a couple of ways. So there is a big part of the country that's saying, yeah, there's some changes, but it's not a big deal. Now, there are markets that have never had to disclose. It's only been leaders like like you just admit, have taught them what to do and how to say it. So now we're kind of all getting to a level playing field as far as buyer agency disclosure and buyer representation and the opportunity, because I see it as an opportunity. I'm not fearful of this. I am freaking excited. So Dustin, let's talk a little bit about that skill-based professional. What do they have to do? What do they have to do from the perspective of working with buyers and building value, and also working with the listing and building value?
So, and I think that all starts with the first communication. I mean, even when the first NAR lawsuit came out, and I had a call right after that from a seller that said, you know, what's going on with the lawsuits and with the commission? As long as we're able to, you know, get that across to the sellers and buyers just the way we normally work, then that's where we're going to be able to convert better. We're going to be able to have more face-to-face appointments, but more importantly, just communicate just like we always have, you know, what we charge. So the listing agent is the one that typically will go in and negotiate that commission up front. The buyer's agent can do the same on their side and negotiate with the buyer what their value is and how much they're going to charge for that value. So I think, you know, as long as we can still, as agents, go out and show what the value that we bring to the table, whether we're on the buy side or the list side, you know, that's where I think is going to make it or break it for some agents, because the agents that haven't been taught that and don't know how to, you know, and I don't want to say sell the value, but, you know, show the value of what we do in the transaction, that'll be the difference maker between the agents that really thrive in this, in a shifting market when there's so much turmoil going on.
And you know what? And Josh, I don't mean to be ugly, but there are going to be some that fall to the side. Those that don't bring value, those that are hobbyist may fall to the wayside.
I think, you know, I do this sparingly, but I think this is to the point where we're having this podcast for a reason. Like Realty One Group as a brand has picked up already on the fact that there's opportunity in this. And so we're now creating podcasts and conversations, and, you know, I'm sure Kathy's probably going to have new platforms on 1.u that will be geared towards exactly this. Sorry.
And providing coaching through industry experts.
Right.
Again, it's opportunity. You've been doing this, Dustin, so you're way ahead. You know, talk about being ahead of the curve. He was doing this way before this lawsuit. So if you had to say, like, what are the top three things a buyer's agent needs to bring to the table to show value, what would those three things be? Or if you had to give best practices or that advice, what would it look like?
The best practices in working with buyers, I mean, is slowing down and not being, you know, the COVID during that, when market was really short and moving really fast, it was so quick that we forgot to slow down and set the expectations of the buyer of what the process looks like. So everybody was just running to the house to be the first one to show it, to hurry up and write the offer. And, you know, we saw a lot of offers that were poorly written. I shouldn't say poorly written, but they were barely getting by. So this is the time that we can come back and show the buyers the process, make sure they understand the process and they're not upset when they get done and they're not trying to sell that house. They're not rushing through that. But the biggest thing that we show our agents and coach to is the fact of setting that expectation and showing that buyer the path to where they can do things right. And it helps with the time management of the agents too. So if the buyers and sellers know how we work, they're not always pushing on us, and it helps us create that little bit of work-life balance when everybody knows what to expect through the whole process. We've had a lot of people that's come in and paid cash, but mortgages are going to get back to the norm. So being able to shop, and interest rates have been an interesting topic over the past, you know, 6-8 months too. So as we see some steadiness in that, being able to help that buyer get and understand the mortgage that they're getting into. I think that's, you know, just being able to slow down with the process and making sure they're aware of what to expect through the whole transaction.
Well, you know what I liken it to is I fly often. I have the opportunity to fly often. And I'm never worried about being at 30 or 36,000 feet. And that's a real estate transaction. They're a part of the real estate transaction that other people are handling. You're on autopilot. It kind of takes, it doesn't take care of itself, but you're still at the controls, but you're not actually flying the plane. However, the dangerous part is when you're taking off before mm-hmm. you go on autopilot and when you come off autopilot and you land. And I think that's the value of a professional realtor, is making sure you take off safely as the transaction begins. More significantly, making sure we get back on the ground, make sure we get to the closing table. And that to me is where, as an industry and as professionals, we need to focus on building value on those two ends of the journey, the takeoff and the landing. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. I think, and that's one of the things that, you know, if you're setting those expectations, I think you're building the value and showing them what we really do. Because a lot of people out there think that we just go show a few houses and then we get a big check at the end. So there's a lot more to being a true professional and making sure that everything goes right for those buyers and sellers, whether it's negotiating the inspection period, the due diligence, working with title. There's a lot of other steps that you don't see in the public's view of real estate agents. So, you know, having that those processes that we work through with buyers and helping them understand that, I think that's where you talk about going through the process and then getting back safely. If they can use our vendor partners that we align ourselves with, you know, it helps them get through that process a lot easier with less turbulence, if you use that analogy of flying. So, and that's one of the things that, you know, we're supposed to do is help control the turbulence through a transaction.
I love that. I love that. And know when to say sit down and buckle up, because you
absolutely
know, get back in your seat. It's getting ready to get rough. Josh, it's interesting because what I hear Dustin saying is you got to have that checklist. You got to have that process. Slow down, make fewer mistakes. Right.
Yeah.
And also, there's been so much focus on the buyer representation. But I'd like to talk for a few minutes about how do we explain this to sellers. And personally, I want to be the listing agent that's known as paying the buyer, paying out. I want to be the listing agent that goes and gets the full commission. Is that realistic?
I think it's very realistic. And that goes back to being able to, you know, show the value of what we, or communicate the value of what, you know, real estate agents on both sides, you know, for the listing side, and being able to have the seller understand the value of having a buyer's agent on the other side. So they're going to make a few changes, but of how we can show what we're maybe compensating the other side. But, you know, without the other side of that transaction, that puts more work on the listing agent if they're having to handle both sides of the transaction. So the buyer's agent is a huge part of a transaction. Yes, the listing agent goes and gets the listing, sets those expectations with the seller, but it allows us to, you know, show their property to a lot more people, being able to co-broke and being able to work with so many other real estate agents on the other side of the transaction too. So if we take that all away and not be able to offer compensation, you know, everything's negotiable, but offer some kind of compensation for agents to bring a buyer, and then making sure that they're controlling that buyer, you know, and setting the expectations of that buyer through their side of the transaction as well.
And, you know, the reality, Josh, you know, this reality is there's going to be a huge buyer population that's scraping to get the down payment, and they are just not going to have compensation for a buyer's agent. And I want to be known as the listing agent that you don't even have to call and say, Kathy, are you paying out blank percent? They know my reputation is that I'm taking care of the seller. I want to be intentional with this. I'm taking care of the seller by making sure the buyer has adequate representation. Mm-hmm. And I can do that. I can do that through what I'm paying out. And I think that is a big, kind of big hole right now that nobody's talking about.
I guess my first question is where, it sounds like, Dustin, you've been training your agents and your team for a while on this. Where does one begin, maybe if they're currently a Realty One Group agent, not for you, Dustin, to start this process?
So there's a ton of avenues out there with even 1.U. And of course, our coaching platform, we do coach on that as well. But, you know, it's, I mean, buyer agency has been around for a long time. So knowing and having the assets to really have a presentation, a buyer presentation to give, you know, where agents can sit down and show the process of what buyers go through. But more importantly, it communicates the value of why people need to hire a buyer's agent to represent them. What all of the things are that they may not be aware of that they're going to have to, the hurdles that they got to jump through to get through the finish line.
I think too, if you ask most consumers, buyers or sellers, is a real estate transaction an event or a process? I think most would say event. Put sign in the yard, it sells, especially based on the last 3 years. Put the sign in the yard, it sells, we go close. They don't understand the labor behind it. They don't understand, unless you got a cash deal, right? They don't understand what goes into every bit of the process. It's not an event, it's a process. And you need a skilled professional on the end of that to facilitate it.
I also think I'm not going to get too into the weeds of, you know, our personal lives, but we, you know, there's a lot of first time home buyers in this room alone, you know, like Ryan and I are, we're not moving in together, but you know, we're both in the process of looking, right? And so for us, even though we work for a real estate brand, even though I have Kathy's cell phone number and I can call her and ask her any question, it's not something I want to do without an agent next to me. And I feel like I have a leg up on most people when it comes to that. And so maybe like talk through like, or, cause I feel like we're going to see this push of kind of millennials jumping into the real estate market as first time home buyers. So how do they get proper representation on the buyer side?
And I think, you know, they need to interview agents. I mean, and that's one of the things is, you know, find an agent that does have the knowledge behind it, that has been, you know, that understands the process and knows how to explain to them or show them what the whole path is, you know, from start to finish. Because there is a difference between real estate agents and, you know, how they can perform and what they can do from the very beginning to helping guide them with financing options. We're not lenders, but they want to be able to have good partners on that side. But then more importantly, just to know upfront what to expect, you know, the timelines that are in the contract of, you know, from first writing a contract, how many times can they counteroffer back and forth? I mean, that's questions that people have and don't know. Even sellers don't know that you can counter back and forth. So knowing the process and being able to show that, you know, to a buyer, you know, whether they're visual learners or can understand just by talking, but being able to show them the whole process, what to expect through the due diligence period, the appraisal process, down to, you know, going to closing, but interviewing several agents and finding someone that they are comfortable with and they like. I mean, we know that people do business with the people they like. So If we can show that and show the value and be able to walk buyers through that process, they're going to like us naturally because we're educating them. And I think that's one part that the industry is missing is, you know, realtor education. We all go through and get a license and we can sell property, but really understanding and knowing how the whole process works. I think the lack of education that realtors have access to or obtain, we need to have more education in our through the realtors so they know that process so we can, you know, guide buyers and sellers a lot better and, you know, with true vision of what is expected through the whole transaction.
And, you know, Josh, to your point, it's going to be the concern is affordability, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what we're saying is that the value is there. And another, I'm going to use a horrible analogy. This is going to be a horrible analogy podcast. Okay. But another would be, I could go on YouTube. I could have a bad tooth, right? And I could go on YouTube and I could go, hey, that's what I need. And I could pull my own tooth. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be messy and it's going to hurt like heck. I could also go into a transaction and it would be messy and it would be painful. But more significantly, if something goes wrong and the opportunity for a non-licensed, for somebody that doesn't have knowledge of a real estate transaction to be messy and expensive and painful. Expensive is capital, all capitals, is going to be the same thing as if I pull my own tooth. I'm cool. I can stop the bleeding. But if something goes terribly wrong, it's pretty catastrophic. And real estate transactions can be that way, especially California. I mean, your first time buyer experience is much different than that of a North Carolina.
We can just end the podcast there.
Me and Josh are moving into the podcast room.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all we can afford is where we're recording right now. Well, Dustin, I don't want to put you on the spot, but like we started this podcast with, we see this as opportunity. So in the next, let's call it like Q3 and Q4 of 2024, what do you see?
What do we see as far as the industry as a whole?
Yeah. And just with this change coming and, you know, maybe some of the results of it.
I think right now we're seeing a lot of confusion and people don't know how to take the information. We see the media with headlines that really I don't see as accurate as what they really are. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know if that's intentional or not, but it's still confusing agents. It's going to confuse the public. So, I mean, we're going to have to educate the public as real estate agents too, as we move through these next few months until things get a little bit more clear for everybody. It is going to be tough. I think what Kathy said about maybe losing some realtors through, you know, by Q3, Q4, some of them that don't adapt and don't understand how to communicate the value of real estate agents, you know, may have trouble going out and getting listings or working with buyers or not knowing how to get compensated if they do. So I think, you know, we're going to see it clear up, you know, eventually, and we're going to see more education coming out and how we're going to be able to continue to put deals together on both sides of the transaction. It takes like Kathy said, it takes a buyer and a buyer's agent and a seller's agent. It takes a buyer and a seller to put a deal together in order to sell a house. So I think if we miss any of those components, it's going to make the whole transaction harder one way or the other. So whether the buyer doesn't have representation, I think that's a huge problem with not having buyers to have representation. So though the financing part in there, will some loan programs change to be able to offer, you know, where they're, how that money can or that commission can come to the buyer's agent if they have to finance that part of it? Because I know on some loans, you can only get up to a certain amount of seller paid closing cost. And I think that was one of the things that was mentioned in the settlement agreement, is that the sellers can still offer some kind of, you know, concessions. But I think, you know, rounding it out, I think it will make the industry a little bit better as we end up in the fourth quarter and all the dust settles. Education gets out to everybody. We have agents that can show everybody how we're going to move through the process, the benefits of having, you know, buyers agents and sellers agents and being able to work together through this. I think, and you know, it'd be an election year, I think with interest rates, those calming down a little bit, we're going to have a little bit stronger market than what we had in 2023. But I think it's going to take the agents that are going to be willing to, you know, seek education, seek coaching that's going to help them, you know, go through this shifting market. You know, I've been in this since 2005. I've seen some ups and downs throughout my real estate career. And we have to learn to adapt to these. And what I've learned through every one of them is if we can adapt and adapt the right way, we'll gain market share and grow our personal business as a real estate agent. So I always look at these opportunities to grow, whether it's our firm and, you know, our personal business. So I think, you know, this is a great opportunity for real estate agents that want to thrive in this market to do so.
I love that. And I want to emphasize something you said, and I might be making this up, but what I'm seeing is this happened a lot faster than we anticipated. I was anticipating this to be a 2 or 3 year play out, and it's not. It's July 1. And I think the media's response to that is heightened bullshit. I think the media's response is, whoa, we've got a small window of time to make money. Don't forget, don't lose your perspective of this is marketing for them. And they've got this, now they've got this narrow window to create a lot of noise and a lot of disruption. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said, it's not truthful. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good representation of what the settlement really is. It's noise to create opportunity for advertising. And so I would say lean into industry experts, lean into good brokers, lean into good coaching, and ignore the hype. Is that fair?
I think it's very fair. So, and that's what it's going to take for some agents to get through the shifting market and the misleading advertising, if you will, from the media, because I think it is, they're leaning more toward a scare tactic, and I've never been a fan of that. So I think that, you know, if we just get more education out to our fellow agents and things and work together, I think we'll, you know, the industry will be better at the end.
So education, communication, and paying attention to what you're listening to. Don't be influenced by bad influencers.
Absolutely. That's going to be key.
I think that pretty much sums it up. Dustin, thank you for joining us. This was very, very helpful. I think our audience and hopefully everyone that maybe if this is their first episode, they really see that, you know, there's some worth in this. I also want to say that in the coming weeks, we're actually going to have a lot more guests to discuss more kind of about these settlements and just what's happening in the industry. But Dustin, thank you for your perspective. Kathy, I can see why you wanted to bring him on. Like, I really learned a lot today just personally. So I really appreciate it, Dustin. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Being a part of 1.U.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you guys have any questions, concerns, want to say hello, reach out to learning@realtyonegroup.com. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks.
We thank you for joining us today on another episode of One on One, a Realty One Group podcast. We are powered by 1.U and ask if you have suggestions, recommendations, or questions, please email learning@realtyonegroup.com. And remember, pay close attention to the details, listen to understand, not respond, and always be a resource, not a sales pitch.